And here is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday. It's the 14th of November, 2009. Moby Dick published on this day, 1851, Herman Melville's great flop. It sold only about 2,300 copies in the year and a half after it was published. His readers were hoping for a swashbuckling adventure at sea, and Melville gave them a heavy allegory. It's the birthday of William Steig, New York City, 1907. His father was a house painter, his mother a seamstress, both of them socialist immigrants from Eastern Europe. They loved that he loved to draw. They were having a tough time during the Depression when William Steig, at the age of 23, in 1930, sold a cartoon to the New Yorker magazine and was hired by Harold Ross as a staff cartoonist. He kept on drawing cartoons and covers for the New Yorker until 2003, died at the age of 95, the longest-running contributor the magazine ever had. He did 117 covers, more than 2 years' worth. Started out drawing young kids fighting or playing, and then symbolic, strange cartoons, and then lions and dragons and mythical creatures. And in 1990, wrote a book called Shrek, which was made into a very popular movie. William Steig, who said he never felt grown up and thought that an ideal life would be just drawing. It's the birthday of the woman who created Pippi Longstocking, Astrid Lindgren, born in Vimmerby, Sweden, 1907. It's the birthday of P.J. O'Rourke, the satirist, born Toledo, Ohio, 1947, author of Give War a Chance, and most recently Driving Like Crazy. He said the source of the word humorist is one who regards human beings in terms of their humors as types, and one finds, especially by the time one reaches one's 50s, that there are a limited number of types of people in the world, and you went to high school with every single one of them. You can visit the Eskimos, you can visit the Bushmen and the Kalahari, you can go to Israel, you can go to Egypt, but everybody you meet is going to be somebody you went to high school with. Here's a poem for today by John Engels, Cranberry Orange Relish. A pound of ripe cranberries for 2 days macerate in a dark rum. Then do not treat them gently, but bruise, mash, pulp, squash with a wooden pestle to an abundance of juices. In fact, until the juices seem on the verge of overswelling the bowl, then drop in 2 fistfuls, maybe 3, of fine chopped orange with rind, 2 golden blobs of it, and crush it in, and then add sugar, no thin sprinkling, but a cupful, dumped and awakened with a wooden spoon to a thick suffusion, drench of sourness, bite of color. Then for 2 days let conjoin the lonely taste of cranberry, the joyous orange, the rum, in some warm corner of the kitchen until the bowl faintly becomes audible, a scarce wash of sound, a tiny bubbling. And then in a glass bowl set it out and let it be eaten last, to offset gravied breast and thigh of the heavy fowl, liverish stuffing, the effete potato, lethargy of pumpkins gone leaden in their crusts. Let it be eaten so that our hearts may be together overrun with comparable sweetnesses, tart gratitudes, until finally, dawdling and groaning, we bear them to the various hungerings of our beds, lightened of their desolations. A poem by John Engels, Cranberry Orange Relish, from his collection Sinking Creek, published by the Lions Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can learn more about the work of your favorite poets with their series of poetry podcasts at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.